Yeah. Ah, cheap. Ah, yeah. Help to light the candle and the incense. Tao cả chưa tiêm, tiêm về incense cái về candle. Anyone? Apple and okay. Okay, let us stand and start the puja. Ah, okay. Sad, 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 sad. Okay, thank you so much. Yeah? You can be seated. Then let us compose our mind. Yeah? Develop the faith, sadha, virya, spiritual zeal. Then mindfully we shall proceed with the puja chanting. Arahang sammasambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. ุปัฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสังฆังนะมามิโอเค you can be seated and turn to the first page of our chanting book. Oh, forgot to distribute the chanting book. Yeah. Okay, don't worry. Yeah. So, turn to page one, chanting book. Okay. We will chant the Vandana. Just now the salutation to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha we have already done, the homage. Now is the Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Patipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa dithena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang ujayami tamonudang ganda sambara yutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punena matena cha hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tunobante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, now let us make our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and douses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Tripaja. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. The next session will be meditation. But today I will give a little bit of briefing before you start your meditation. For those who are new and who still need instruction, you can listen to it attentively. For those who are already here before, it's like a revision to you. Okay. The meditation we are going to develop here is called Vipassana meditation. It's a Pali word. It consists of two words. Vi stands for the characteristics of nature. Passana is to insight into it. When you have this meditative mind, which you have developed and trained, which is a silent mind, you can just completely silent, relax, and maintain awareness. It can lead to the penetrative awakening, which they call insight knowledges, or you insight into the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, or empty nature, non-self nature. These are the three universal characteristics as explained by the Buddha. They are called universal characteristics because it is inherent in all phenomena in this universe. whether it's a physical phenomenon, mental or nature's phenomenon, they exhibit this universal characteristic, and you can insight into it and awaken to it, then you will break free from the delusion that this phenomena endures you. Without this insight, it's very difficult to break free from the attachment, the craving, the clinging, the grasping, born of your delusion. The main delusion is self-delusion, thinking that this physical body and mind that you are having since birth until now is real, is what you are. And when you cannot see their impermanent nature, leading to the suffering nature, then finally the non-self or impermanent leading to empty nature, then you can be deceived. And this delusion is very powerful, and according to the Buddha, is the cause of all human suffering, living beings suffering in this universe. That's why this meditation is very unique. Yeah. And to do this style of meditation, the Buddha, in his teaching, he really laid out very clearly. He said, living beings' mind, including human beings, the reason why they are not peaceful is because of mental hindrance. So you look at the whiteboard, eh? There is this two chart. This right-hand side, according to your, is left-hand side. Yeah. Yeah. So on your left, there is a chart which they call the mental hindrance. There are five. These five mental hindrances, they are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, or sleepiness of mind, then restlessness and doubt. These are the mind state that frequently arise in the mind of the living beings. And when they arise, they become mental hindrance. Evil hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. And these are the five things that is very common to humanity, especially those who don't know how to meditate, don't know how to develop the understanding of the mind. The first two arise almost every moment of your life. Every moment of living life, when you are conscious after you wake up, you will experience these two, sensual desire and ill will, mental hindrance. Because every moment of consciousness, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, or tactile feel, or even through your thought process, when you perceive them, you will react and stir your mind. It's whether you like what you perceive through your sense experience or you don't like. So whether you like or you don't like will fall into these two categories of sensual desire and ill will. Whatever that you like is sensual desire, desire of the senses. Whatever you don't like, you develop ill will or dislike towards it. So all your pleasant, unpleasant sense experience, your like and your dislike, they are manifestation of these two hindrances. And these are also the evil roots of greed and hatred. That's why it's so powerful. And throughout the day, if you keep on arising this type of hindrance, it will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So if you have done it until it becomes so habitual, then you ask yourself, how are you going to be peaceful? That's why you think a lot. You have a lot of mental hindrance throughout the day. And when this becomes habitual, it will bind you to this phenomenal world. Yeah, because you give meaning to all those phenomena that you come to perceive through your sense experience. Then the other reason is, when you are preoccupied with the thing you perceive, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, you are lost in thought. Preoccupied with what you experience, then there is no more clarity, no more awareness within, and you don't know what is going on. That's what heedlessness is all about. Inability to be aware of what is happening in the moment is heedlessness. That's why it is a mental hindrance. It will hinder you from becoming peaceful, from being aware, from developing the ability to be silent, to be fully aware of what is going on. Then the third mental hindrance is sleepiness of mind, sloth and torpor, or dullness of mind. This mind, when it is boring, or when it is not interested in what he is observing or perceiving, or even listening to a topic that you don't like, it will give rise to this mental hindrance. You feel very sleepy. Even when you are a student, when you study, it's the same. If the subject or the topic is not something you like, you will feel very sleepy in the class. So this mental hindrance is very real. So you need to have passion, the interest, the spiritual zeal to understand the topic, to have the interest. Otherwise, you will have this mental hindrance coming after you. Then the next one, the fourth mental hindrance, is even more powerful. We call it the restlessness of mind. Your mind becomes restless because of certain reason. According to the Buddha, this is very common in most people, because when you go through life, as you confront life, you will confront the reality of life as proclaimed by the Buddha in the First Noble Truth. When you confront them without wisdom, the Buddha said you will arise what they call fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. And this will make you restless. Your mind is no more peaceful because you worry. And those who break the precept, worse. You not only have problem with the realities of life and existence, when you violate the precept, when you kill somebody, harm somebody, deceive, cheat, or commit sexual misconduct, lie, and do all those negative things. Then when you are involved with alcohol, intoxication, and all those things that dull your consciousness and make you conscious, make you unconscious. And that will lead to heedlessness and the violation of the other precepts. Then when you fear people coming back to take revenge, or you worry that the police will come after you, or you worry when your spouse come to find out that you have lied, cheated, or deceived them. So all this will intensify this mental hindrance of restlessness. When you are restless, you cannot have clarity of mind. You have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety. And this mind state is very negative. Very negative. That's why it can lower your immune system and make you miserable. And this is what they call the inability of the mind to maintain that calmness, that clarity, that peacefulness, that awareness within. And this is the most powerful hindrance. The other hindrance, when they arise, they lead to restlessness too. Yeah. Then the last one is, of course, doubt. When you don't have the faith, when you don't have the understanding, you will have a very, very weak mind. They call it doubt. When the mind lacks understanding, it has doubt. When it has doubt, it lacks confidence, it lacks faith. That's why you find it very difficult to understand things. You find it very difficult to learn things. And this doubt prevents understanding. Yeah. The Buddha said these five mental hindrances, they are inherent in all the deluded living beings. If you are deluded, you have not awakened, this mental hindrance will be there. You cannot stop. So in meditation, we have to understand that these are very powerful mental hindrances. Like the word say, hindrance. It hinders your mind from becoming peaceful. That's the reason why most human beings cannot meditate. Because they don't have the quality of mind to meditate. So the Buddha said, in order to overcome the five mental hindrances, you need the opposite five, which he called the five spiritual faculties of spiritual mental states. And these are mental states that can allow you to understand spiritual teachings. That's why it's called spiritual faculties or mental state. Then when you have these five, it will counter the opposite five. That's why the Buddha said, don't have to fight the hindrance. Don't suppress, don't control, don't fight, don't do anything. Allow it to be. Then understand that it is because you lack the opposite five, it arises. So what we need to do is to cultivate this five spiritual faculty that the Buddha has recommended. And this is very important. And these are common sense. In our daily life, in the materialistic world, we also will have this if you want to be successful in life. The first one is Saddha in Pali. The meaning is faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. But for the spiritual, this is for the spiritual understanding. But for mundane society's need, you need to have confidence or faith in yourself. Like the saying goes, when we are confident, we have self-confidence, half the battle is won. So this faith, Saddha, is very important. When you are confident, when you have the faith, there is no more doubt. That's why it cancels the hindrance of doubt. So this faith will drive you. So through understanding who the Buddha is, how special he is, he's not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. You can say the Buddha, at that time when he arrives, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. And because of that, your faith in him is very, very stable. It can become unshakable, balanced. Then when you have this faith, through understanding how special a being he is and how unique his teaching is, it will give rise to the second spiritual faculty, which is spiritual zeal, virya. The spiritual tenacity to learn his teaching. Because you know, due to his special quality as a fully enlightened being, perfect in wisdom and virtue, his teaching can bring about liberation of mind, enlightenment in the here and the now, so that you need not suffer anymore. So that your mind is always peaceful, calm, aware. And this is the purpose of our meditation. And when you understand that his teaching can bring forth the result of this enlightenment, this beautiful transformation in you, you will develop this spiritual zeal, the second spiritual faculty, to go and cultivate his teaching. And this will spur you on. That's why the spiritual tenacity or zeal to go this way. This will drive you to cultivate. And when you cultivate, the first thing you need to do is develop mindfulness, sati, which is just an awareness before the knowing, before the mind lashes onto it, before the perception, before the aggregates of mind arise. It's just a pure silent awareness. Just the mind is just aware before the knowing. And this mindfulness you can develop through training. That's why I will teach you some skillful means to do it. We can start off with a mind sweeping method, followed by loving kindness. Then after that, you have to stabilize that mind that you have trained. When sati is developed, you have to stabilize it. To stabilize it, you can use any method or technique that you are familiar with. Can be anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Or mindfulness of the rising and falling of the abdomen, which the Burmese tradition do a lot. The Thai tradition do a lot of buddho breathing, the in and out breath. Yeah. Then the Mahayana teaching, they do a lot of chanting. They chant the Buddha's name, the Bodhisattva's name. All this is to develop mindfulness, stabilize it. Then when mindfulness stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is a free mind that is collected and unwavering. The reason why you need samadhi is because if you cannot have samadhi, you cannot be peaceful. Because your mind, in the midst of life, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, or tactile feel or think, this mind that can waver or stir and react to create the mental hindrance is not stable enough. So when you have sati or mindfulness, you will become calm, peaceful. But without samadhi, it is not collected and unwavering. It can still stir, react. So you need these two. So when sati and samadhi is there, your mind can see things as they are, without stirring, without reaction, because it's collected, unwavering. And it sees the reality, the truth, without word. He sees things as it is. The Buddha called it jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality, seeing things as they are. And when you see things as they are, this is the reality, this is the truth. That's why wisdom will arise, the last spiritual faculty. And this is how meditation is to be developed. And these five spiritual faculties, the Buddha said, through our puja, the devotional practice, you can develop them. Like just now when we started the puja, the first thing we do is we make puja offering. Then we say sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. What is the meaning? Sadhu means rejoicing. Rejoicing in what? Rejoicing in the generosity of people who has brought the offering. Rejoicing in their goodness, their wholesomeness. Then in their ability to understand the Dhamma. Then when you make offering, you are mindful of all your action, all your movement, including how you receive the offering, then how you rejoice, and how you sadhu, and how you pass it on. Everything is done with mindfulness, awareness. And this is how the training from the faith, when we chant the salutation to the Buddha, that's why we chant Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. So this is salutation to the Buddha. Homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Then followed by the Dhamma, the Sangha. Then we chant the refuge. We take refuge. We see the importance of taking refuge in the Triple Gem. Because apart from the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, which is the Triple Gem, there is no teaching. That's why this is the refuge truth. You have to go for refuge so that you create affinity with Triple Gem. Then when we start, we pay respect. Mindfully, we do it. Then when we chant mindfully with understanding to deepen our faith, sadha, and our virya. Then sati, when cultivated, it will stabilize. That's why the meditation is to stabilize the sati leading to samadhi. Then when you have the spiritual faculty, wisdom will keep on arising. And these are the five spiritual faculties that are repeated twice in the 37 factors of enlightenment. That's why it's very important. So with this understanding, yeah, we can start our meditation. And this is very important. I want to cover this because it's recorded so that people understand. Yeah. Then for those who are new, you need instruction. You don't have to remember anything because it's recorded. Then there are books that has been developed through the transcript of earlier sharing. So when you read that, you will understand what I say. And when you read through a transcript, or even on our website, you can go to this website, brotherteo.com. Or you just Google Brother Teo Skayamita, then the website will also come up. then you can get a lot of the audio file, the recording, and the information there. Even the transcript in soft copy, they are all there. Okay, now you can have your meditation. We off the light. Then I will give you some simple instruction on how to train your mind so that it can temporarily help you to decondition your heedless thinking to keep your mental hindrance at bay. Okay, relax body and mind. Make sure you have a stable posture. If you can sit, you try to sit. If you cannot, you can sit on a chair or a couch, or just lean against the wall and relax body and mind completely. Make sure you have a stable backbone. The backbone is straight. But relax body and mind, physically and mentally relax. And tell yourself you are here to meditate, to train your mind, to develop the spiritual faculty. Therefore, if the thought arises and try to distract you or make you think, you tell the mind, have mercy on me. Whatever you want me to attend to or deal with, I will do it after the meditation. Then the thought will not disturb you anymore. Then you just relax, silence your mind, then maintain attentiveness at your forehead, silent everything. Just feel. Don't think, feel. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax. Feel it, suddenly relax your whole entire forehead. Relax, relax and relax. Then you sweep your mind down to your eye muscle, do the same. Feel it and relax into every strand of your eye muscle. Feel it soothingly. Relax, relax, and relax. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle. Feel it and relax every layer of your facial muscle. Then in order to help you to relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you naturally relax because it is a stress-free facial smile. Then you can radiate love and metta to yourself by reciting after what I recite. You can recite as follows. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. As you recite, you must feel your entire body and mind, your entire being having this ability to relax and be happy, to have this well-being and happiness. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering, free from all harm and danger, feel it, entire physical body and mind. Free from all harm and danger, free from all physical and mental suffering. And my mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can extend this loving kindness or metta to your loved ones. May all our loved ones, our parents, our brothers, our sisters, our spouse, our children, our good neighbor, good friends, and others who has affinity with this nature of ours, and all kayanamitas, including all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they too be free from all suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all too be free from all suffering, all physical and mental suffering. And may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can relate to all the other beings. May all beings within the whole of Subangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, then within our solar system, then all beings within the entire galaxy of ours, our Milky Way, extending beyond to all the universe, the entire universe, within the whole universe. May they all too be well, happy and peaceful, free of all suffering, mental and physical suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle, feel, don't think, just feel, relax. Then you move it down to your neck, feel, relax, shoulder, feel, relax, hand, feel, relax, back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your heart area, your chest area. This is a very important location within the body. This is where your heartbeat rises and passes away. This is where the seat of consciousness is. You just silence everything and just feel. You can detect whatever vibration or your heartbeat. You just stay there. Silence your mind and just stay there and be with the vibration. That is to maintain attentiveness or awareness or mindfulness at that location. If you are new, you don't have the ability or sensitivity, then it's okay. You just feel your heart area, chest area, like you feel your forehead. Then just relax. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax. Then you move the attention down from your heart area to your stomach. Again, feel, relax. Then you sweep it down to your abdomen, silence everything and feel. Then just relax. Then move it to your leg, feel, relax. Then your buttock, do the same, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole of the mind sweeping method from the buttock, just feel, relax. Leg, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Then move it up to your heart area or chest area, silence everything, just feel and relax it. Then you move it up to your shoulder, feel, relax, hand, feel, relax, back to shoulder. Then move up to your neck, feel, relax. Then your facial muscle, do the same, feel, relax each and every facial muscle. Then sweep it up to your eye muscle, feel, relax, forehead, feel, relax. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. This mind sweeping method can bring about inner peace, leading to inner well-being because of the metta that you radiate. And these are beautiful mind states. They are beautiful byproduct of meditation. So the first two benefits of meditation is to train your mind to be peaceful, quiet and calm. So inner peace leading to inner well-being, leading to all the love and the kindness within is very important. Then when your mind is very quiet, very peaceful, there is clarity of mind. Then this clarity and this mindfulness or this silence that you have trained and developed you need to stabilize it. To stabilize this mindfulness, you need to anchor it to something. It can be any object of meditation that you are familiar with. If you don't have, you can try anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Maintain attention in front of your nostril. Then silence everything and just feel the breathing. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Initially, if you are not trained, you are not skillful, you cannot maintain mindfulness of your in and out breath for long. Anapana is a Pali word for in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So to develop this anapana sati is to develop the mindfulness of the in and out breath. So you just silence your mind and maintain awareness following the breath. When the breath and the mind move as one without thought, there is anapanasati. Initially, this mind will wander off very fast. It's like you couldn't maintain the mindfulness for long. Split second is gone. But don't worry. Every time it wanders off, patiently bring the attention of the mind back to the breathing. If you are patient enough, not long, within 5-10 minutes, you will stabilize. Then when your anapanasati stabilizes, you will just be mindful of the in and out breath. Stop all thinking. Just maintain that mindfulness. Then you will develop a type of inner peace, inner calmness. And you will experience a type of spiritual joy or spiritual calmness, which they call piti. Piti is a type of spiritual calmness or spiritual joy or spiritual rapture that can arise when you are peaceful because of the mindfulness of the in and out breath. Then you continue to relax into it, silent everything. It will become more refined. Then you can experience more refined mind state. And it will transform further from piti. You will experience sukha. Sukha is a blissfulness of mind, very blissful, very subtle. Then as you become very blissful, the mind, you continue to relax into it and silent. And the long breath will arise. Then after some practice or cultivation, the long breath will slow down and become slow breathing. Until the breathing becomes so subtle, like no more breathing. Yeah. By then, you would have progressed quite well. So when the subtle breathing arises, don't do anything, just silence everything and maintain that silence within. Then this sukha will become transformed again. It will transform to become pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. Or the meditative mind. The mind becomes so quiet, so still, like no more movement. Yeah. Our sole purpose is to train this mind until it reaches that silence. That is sati leading to samadhi. So when the mind is in sati, when you come out of meditation, you have to maintain the peacefulness, the calmness, the inner awareness, born of mental training. Born of spiritual faculty, and this is the meditative mind that can meditate and understand many, many things. Okay, I now let you meditate on your own to train yourself, and I will ring the bell after about 10 minutes. first you want to meditate, you can continue for the seven now slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever calmness, inner mindfulness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then stabilize this mind state that you have developed and trained. This is the meditative mind that you need to use to meditate in the midst of life. The real meditation is when you can stabilize this mind state, that silent mind, to use it to live life, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path in the midst of life. We call that meditation Vipassana or daily mindfulness, the four foundation of mindfulness. That is the real meditation. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Mokkadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhammasarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanaiko Pachatang Veditadbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakasango Uyupatipanno Bhagavato Sakasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato saukka sangho samici patipanno bhagavato saukka sangho yadidang chattari purisa yogani atta purisa pogala esa bhagavato saukka sangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaniyo anuttarang punyaketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. We will continue with the second session, which is meditation reporting. Huh? Anybody who wants to report meditation, just put up your hand. And after that, you can ask question, any question regarding meditation and the teaching. Huh? You can ask. Okay, we open it up. You just have to raise your hand. Huh? Then you report your meditation or ask any question. Then from there, I will guide you along. Hmm. Anybody? Nobody. As usual, required, huh? Ah, yes. Pass the mic to our sister, yeah. Sadhu.
Good evening, brother and sister.
Yeah.
My name is Stephanie.
Stephanie. Yes. Yeah.
I want to address the restlessness part.
Yes.
Yeah, because
the mental
today's hindrance. Today's meditation was a bit restless.
Oh, okay.
And we come to a point where I was unknowing of.
Yeah, you are not aware of the thinking.
Yeah,
the heedless thinking.
Yeah, I was unknowing.
Yeah, means you are lost in the thought, the chain of thought.
Not so much lost in the thought as like. I wasn't consciously thinking.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't consciously thinking, but when I'm aware, I'm aware that I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So, but I know I was thinking, but I wasn't trying to think.
Yeah.
But it just running
happened
away
by itself. Yeah, that's what we call mental hindrance.
Yeah.
Because so this chain of thought, which is the restless mind, the heedless mind, it will just think. And this heedless thinking come about because of the mental hindrance. The mind is restless because it is not peaceful. It don't have the spiritual faculty, the five spiritual faculties. So when you lack this, this is the tendency of the mind. In fact, throughout the day, your mind is doing that without you knowing. Yes, you're off. Then I explain. You see, in the midst of life, when you are conscious of life, because your senses are engaged. That's why most of the time, you use your senses to get involved with life. So you are conscious of life, but you are not aware of life. Can you understand the difference? Yeah. You are conscious of life, but you are not aware of life. But not
aware. Can you understand this statement? How many of you cannot understand this statement? Yeah? You cannot understand. Anybody else? It's quite easy that to be conscious means what? Means you're awake, you are not sleeping. Means you are in the wakeful state. That's why you become conscious. That's why, no? But being conscious doesn't mean you are aware. Do you understand? When you wake up, you are conscious that you wake up. But you think a lot. You are never with the moment. That's why you don't have this mindfulness to be aware of life. To be aware of what is happening within the moment. You look at life. What is life? To live life is to? To exist. So now you get it. To exist. So, to exist. So, existence can be related to time. Okay? So, to exist is to go through time. Time. Then the whole spectrum of time we can define in there. Yeah? Whole spectrum of time. You can define it easily, huh? There are only three periods. Past, present, and future. And future. If you can understand this, you can understand life. Then you can understand what I said up there. So now we go through. This whole spectrum of time, which we have already defined, when we talk about the past, means something already gone. Understand? The past is already gone. So, is it a reality? It's not a reality, is it? So this one is not a reality. Not a reality. Because the past is already gone. Then the future is the same, isn't it? Also not a reality. Why? Because yet to come. Future yet to come. So the only reality in life is what? The present moment, the here and the now. And when we talk about the present moment, we are talking about now, this moment. This moment, this is the only reality in life. So this is the only reality. In life. Whatever that arises, it has to be in the here and the now. Where these two are not a reality. So every moment life passes by, what are you doing? Moment to moment life passes by, and that is the only reality. What are you doing? Are you conscious of life? Most human beings, what are they doing? They are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. Or daydreaming, understand? Building castle in the air. Means, like Ng B said, lost in thought. Because you are so preoccupied with your thought process. You think a lot, you worry a lot, you plan. Then you got your fear, your worry, your anxiety. When you project your thought, all this
come in. When you project your thought, means what? Something that hasn't happened. The future. You go and develop fear, worry, anxiety. And it comes from the word, what if? Like you go to a doctor. Then they say, I need to do a blood test. Then the blood test come out. Some of the indicator not so good. Then the doctor tell you, we have to do further test. Then they say, from their blood test, the cancer marker or whatever marker, they say, doesn't look good. So what happened? They say they have to do a more detailed test. It may be a biopsy or whatever to confirm. And during that time, most living beings who don't have the Dhamma, don't have the wisdom and the understanding, you know what happened or not? There is intense fear. Fear of what? The test become positive. The result hasn't come out. But you worry. Understand not? And that is not the reality. The reality is the here and the now, this moment. Why are you not peaceful? Why must you project your thought and develop that fear? That you think you are real. Because you don't have this security in you. That's why human beings seek security. And there is no such thing as security. If you understand the true meaning of the word. To be safe, to be secure means what? You try to prepare yourself. Like you want to safeguard your house against robbery and all those things. So what you do? You go and strengthen the main gate, the alarm system, everything, the video camera, everything. You go and do all this. Out of what? Out of fear. Thinking that this will make you more secure. Then I used to tell people, if they want to break into your house, whatever you put, they will come in. So you're wasting your money, actually. But it doesn't mean that you don't need this type of thing. You need, but don't overdo it. Don't project your fear. Do it with understanding. You can have this understanding to live life. When you are with the moment, in silent, peaceful awareness, without thought, what happened to your mind? When you are just aware, in sati, without the movement of thought, what will happen to your mind? Your mind will be? Very peaceful. Your mind will be very peaceful. Where did I write it? You see, awareness means silent. The moment you are without thought, you are already silent. Without thought means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, no mental hindrance. Because there is no thought. All these are thought. That's why they arise. So without thought, you are peaceful. You are already aware, peaceful, calm. Then, tranquility. Tranquil. Then there is clarity. That's why, if you understand this, you don't have to do anything. You just silence your mind at peace. Develop the ability to be peaceful, to be aware, to have this calmness, clarity of mind. Then with this clarity of mind, you can understand things better. Then you can act accordingly with understanding. If instead of be present, you go and project your thought into the future or recall the fearful past, the scars of memory, what are you doing? You are not aware. You are creating mental hindrance. You are creating fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation through thought projection because you don't know how to develop mindfulness. You don't have the spiritual faculty to maintain silent clarity. That's the reason why I say to live life, You must have this spiritual faculty to understand life. Whenever you confront something in life, let's say you meet up with somebody very violent, or you don't like, or you heard something that is very fearful, very frightening, what must you do? Or somebody say bad things about you, accuse you of something. Yeah. Or the doctor tell you the result of the test is positive. If you don't have this understanding, straight away your mind will develop fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity. Then this will make you miserable, sorrowful. That's how suffering comes to be. But when you have this understanding, as per the teaching taught by the Buddha said, this understanding is very easy. The moment you encounter or confront anything, it can be the reality of life, the First Noble Truth reality, or whatever mental hindrance, or suffering, misery, you have to be at peace with it. At peace means what? Don't stir, don't react. Means silence your mind, maintain awareness. Then when there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, no projection of thought, you will have clarity of mind. The clarity of mind will allow you to understand things very clearly. Then you can develop the understanding to act appropriately. That's what action is all about. That's like acting according to memory. Acting according to memory up there is not acting at all. What is your memory? Your accumulation of life experiences. And what are they? The good and the bad. Your scars of memory, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your insecurity, your phobia. All these other things you accumulate. Of course, you also have your happy moment. But because when you act out of fear, you are not acting at all. When you act out of greed, selfishness, worry, anxiety, you are not acting at all. Because these are all evil roots leading to evil action. There is no understanding behind. Then when you act out of lust, craving, desire, it's also evil roots. Fear is delusion. Acting out of anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, these are the evil roots of ill will. Hatred. Then possessiveness. Selfishness, greediness, it will make you very, very evil. So these are the wrong actions. So how should you act? That's why I use this word. Acting according to understanding or wisdom is the true action. Means you have to understand the reality of the moment. The reality is what? Things happen already, like car accident, okay? Happen already. That is the reality. Or somebody died, maybe your loved ones, your good friend or what. Or the test result from the doctor, confirm, positive, the biopsy result or whatever. Yeah. Or some bad news. So these are all the reality. You have to come to terms with this reality. Because life is about the moment, the reality. This moment when condition is like that, things will be like that. The Buddha said, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. And what are the causes and conditions behind? It's all mainly related to karma. That's why in the five daily contemplation, the Buddha said, the fifth one, you have to reflect every day. We are all born of our karma. Add to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are every moment, every instant because of our karma. So if you understand that karma plays such a great role in your life, almost 99.999% or almost 100% is all karmically conditioned. So what must you do? You must take care of karma. If you want to avoid present condition, suffering or misery, you have to avoid the condition that brings about its arising. That's the reason why when you understand this teaching, you will follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil so that there is no evil condition in the future. Then you have to cultivate wholesomeness, goodness, so that you can use them. These are like your spiritual wealth and money, your merits, your blessings, whatever wholesome action, speech and thought process that you have accumulated, perfected and cultivated, your virtue, your wisdom and your understanding. And these are spiritual wealth that will help you to bring about blessing to you, to bring about the condition for causes and condition to allow you to break free from your karmic negativity. It will teach you how to break the karmic obstruction, then how to do the repentance, then how to determine from now onward not to repeat all this. Then you have to do it via following the advice of the Buddha. Then as you cultivate this way, you will have less and less condition for karmic negativity. Then every moment of life you will experience only peacefulness, calmness, clarity, awareness, understanding. That's how you live life. When you act according to understanding or wisdom, that is true action. Means no more delusion, no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety. There is no more self-delusion. He know you, he know me. This body and mind is karmically conditioned, a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this world, to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, to understand life, to cultivate, to bring forth the perfection, and also to develop the fulfillment of your vows, so that living beings who has affinity with your nature, they can come forth, and you can fulfill your aspiration, your vows. And all this is how you develop understanding. Then life becomes very simple. There is no more fear, no more worry, no more projection of thought. You're just silent, aware. Be with the moment. Then with the clarity of mind, when you don't stir, when you don't react, means what? There is no mental hindrance. There is no greed, hatred, and delusion because you are silent, peaceful, aware. Then how do you act? You act according to Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. The way you conduct yourself. And right view is right understanding. And all these are taught in the teaching. The three types of spiritual understanding. The spiritual law of nature that governs all of life and existence. They are the law of karma, karma niyama, the law of the mind, citta niyama, and the law of truth, dhamma niyama. So when you have this tree, which is the teaching, you will know how to act. That's like the first law of karma, you will know how to act. Then you understand the danger of heedless living, the danger of having a deluded mind. Then you reap what you sow. Do good because good. Do evil because evil. You plant the seeds of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. So life is about understanding all this. Then you know how to live. Then when you determine to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind, means you determine to take care of karma. And how do you avoid evil? You keep your precepts. Because if you were to analyze the five precepts, only people who are evil, who has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, they break the precept. That's why if you don't hold on to your precept, you will fall. Karmically, you will fall. your life will become afflicted, miserable. Then you don't cultivate this teaching to develop the spiritual faculty. You cannot live life. You cannot be with the moment in silent awareness. To have this clarity of mind. To act with understanding and wisdom following Noble Eightfold Path. You can't. And when you can't, what do? You act according to your views, opinion, and conditioning, which is all of your memory. Yeah. Your memory is full of your views, your opinion, and your conditioning, and your belief system. Yeah. And all this are your defilement, your evils, because they are all the wrong thought, the conditioning, born of wrong thought, born of self-delusion, accumulated memories, good and bad. And what did the Buddha say under the second noble truth? The cause of arising of suffering is due to your self-delusion that conditions you to grasp, to cling and to hold on to the phenomenal world, not able to realize its universal characteristic. And what is grasping? What is clinging? What is holding? These are accumulation in your memory. When you accumulate all those things in your memory, it means you are holding on to them. That's why you worry about them. Then when you go through life, your whatever phobia or fear that you go through, those scars of memory, your experiences of life, good and bad, you accumulate them in the memory. Why? Because you give meaning. You attach, you cling, you hold. That's why accumulation is suffering, according to Mahayana. Ku ji mie tong. If you accumulate, it will give rise to suffering. Accumulation is memory. And thought is respond to memory. That's how suffering comes about. And thought is egoic. We are thought is the manifestation of the egoic mind. You are the pure true mind without thought. That's why, for those who understand, especially the Mahayana, in fact, in our Heart Sutta, I quoted this, which came from Poyan Sanglao, Miss Lee's teacher. She, Poyan is the first line, a disciple of Xu Yin Lao Sang, the 120 years old great Zen master. They are together, same lineage, Xuan Hua and the rest. According to him, he said, Dong Nian Yi Wu Ming. Wu Nian Si Zhen Xing. That is a beautiful quote. Yeah. When you stir your mind, Dong Nian, it's because of ignorance, delusion. That's why Qi Xing, Dong Nian. Avijja Paccaya Sankhara actually is from that dependent origination, dwelling. Then he said, Wu Nian, without thought, is the true mind. Zhen Xing. That's why for those who understand, they will know. So when you are just aware without thought, that is your true mind. That is your meditative mind. That is your silent mind. And that's how you meditate. You have to have this meditative mind in awareness to live life. And you can live life so beautifully because you are always in the moment. There will be thought, but you will be aware of the thought. You will not be lost in thought. Just like the sister just now you mentioned, you meditate, then the mind becomes restless. But she is not aware of how the loss in thought happened. Yeah. By the time she is conscious that she is thinking of loss in thought, she couldn't do anything because the mental faculties are not there, the spiritual faculties are not there, and they have not been developed, not stabilized at all. You have to develop it, then stabilize it. Then only it can deal with the opposite five. This opposite five, just now I only talk about sadha, faith to overcome doubt. Then when you have virya, spiritual zeal, or spiritual tenacity to go this way, because there is a type of spiritual, what they call, tenacity to walk this way. Means the mind is very strong. Not only willpower in that sense. This is different from the four bases of success or four bases of accomplishment, which in the Klang talk they want me to share. You see, the first word is chanda. You know what is this word chanda, isn't it? Oh, no place to put it. Chanda. You heard of this word? Chanda is passion. This one is for mundane purpose. The four bases of success. To be successful in the mundane life, the Buddha said you need these four. And these are also factor of enlightenment. Virya, citta, and vimamsa. Chanda is a type of passion. Like when you like the subject, when you have great passion, you will go all out to be successful in that field, to be an expert in that field, because that is your passion. You have great love to do that thing. So this passion will drive you. But this passion and this virya is different, the two. Virya is a type of energy that arises through understanding the importance of that thing that you have passion to search for. Understand? So this is a type of spiritual energy that drives you. It's not just willpower. Willpower is thought-based. Chanda has the thought-based willpower, passion. Means you really have the strong interest to do it, the passion to do it. So you may exercise your will. That's why they used to say, if there is a will, there is a way. Yeah. So this one is mundane. Then virya is a spiritual tenacity that drives you to cultivate. Yeah. But in this particular case, it is for the passion to move. Understand? That's why he said, you must have chanda, then you must have virya. And because it's mundane, the third one is thought, actually. He said, you must use your thought to direct your passion, to cultivate this thing. Then the last one is vimamsa, is investigate. This one is mundane investigation. This is not Dhamma investigation. Dhamma investigation is Dhamma Vichaya. Dhamma Vichaya. That's why this Vimamsa is different. This one is to investigate, to develop understanding. And this one is mostly knowledge based. Yeah. Like when you pursue a passion, like let's say you have a very noble aim, you want to do charity. Or you want to help the sick and all those things. Then you go all out with the passion to develop it. You set up charity homes. You set up orphanage home, overworks home and all those things. Then as you develop this passion, you see the importance, that spiritual zeal inside there, a spiritual tenacity, that energy drives you to cultivate, to do it. Then you use your thought to direct all these things. So you every time think. Whereas spiritual one is contemplate, reflect, second turning. Then silence your mind, direct seeing, awakening. This one, no. Use the thought to think. How can I improve on this? How can I get a source of fun to do all this work that I want to do? You remember? Today, newspaper, I think. There's a page on one, he is now not young. He is 40 something, I think. Last time he was very young, according to him. When he was very young, he wanted to help the poor, understand? Those who are very poor. What he did was, he initially don't have support, where people don't know him. Then he started off by trying to get people to partake in what he's doing. He got this idea, but nobody trusts him because he's not experienced and not established. He's very young at that time. So what he did was, he initially came out to work. He used up his saving, his salary. I think he used up every month, almost, according to him, 2,000 of his saving to help all these people. Then after he has done it for a while, people get to know him. Then he started to put on Facebook. Then he received a lot of help after that. A lot of people send money to him. Then he can do bigger thing now. So it seems he has fun coming up to millions. Yeah. And recently he mentioned there were a few years he did donate about 2-3 million a year. Sometimes for people going through operation and all those things. Got one case, I think, it was an overseas, somebody who went overseas and I think developed sickness or problem, then need a lot of money for surgery and all those things. It was a lady. And he raised through the internet, through the Facebook, almost 500,000 for this person to go through, this lady to go through the operation and all those things. So this is what passion is all about. Then it leads to virya. Then using the thought, he direct it. Then he investigate on how to improve on it. Like in this case, he used Facebook because internet can actually help him out in many ways. Then sometimes as you develop more and more experience, you can become more skillful in your approach, in your establishment of that, what they call mission statement. Then you keep on refining upon it and improve her. So this one is the initial spiritual faculty, not spiritual faculty. Within the 37 factor of enlightenment, this is actually the first group of mundane spiritual faculty. You have to start somewhere. Then from there, you move on to the spiritual faculties. Yeah. And just now when we talk about these five things, I only finished the faith to overcome doubt. So when you have this spiritual zeal, which is a spiritual tenacity, the energy to drive you, where you see the importance of this teaching, the beauty of this teaching. So it will give you that spiritual zeal of virya to help you overcome your sleepiness. You will not be sleepy. The sloth and torpor, lethargic mind, all this will go. Then when you have sati, when you train yourself to be mindful, to be aware within the moment, without thought, then there is no sensual desire and ill will, no restlessness. You are just peaceful. Then when you have samadhi, it's the same. The mind becomes collected. Also, no restlessness, no sensual desire, no ill will. Then when there is wisdom, all this mind gone. That's why the hindrance cannot arise. When this one becomes balas or powers, the spiritual faculty become unshakable, very stable. This one got no chance at all, cannot arise at all. The very moment is aware, gone. Because these are all mental hindrance. It cannot have its role, its power. It loses its power. The ability of this comes from delusion. And it leads to heedlessness. But the moment you have the spiritual faculty, especially wisdom, you can never be heedless anymore. That's why the heedless are as if dead. And heedfulness is the path to the deathless. That's why with the spiritual faculty, you are home. Meditation becomes very easy. The moment you relax, silent, aware, in the formal posture, you are already in a meditative state. No thought. Straight away. No need to train. No need to have anapanasati or note this, note that. Forget about it. All the mental technique, irrelevant. No use. Yeah. But it's not easy because people cannot understand the spiritual faculty. And they don't know how to develop this. Especially sati leading to samadhi. That is where the difficulty is. And I realize this too, especially sati, very few people understand what this thing is. And you don't understand, how can you develop it? And you cannot develop it, how can you arise the real wisdom? There is no way. So what happened in the real world is, instead of sati, they use the thought, the citta. They use the thought. They use it to meditate, to note, to do all those so-called thought-based meditation. That's the reason why they all get stuck. And they cannot really insight into phenomena, the universal characteristic. They have a lot of knowledge, thinking that that is what it is. But knowledge is not the real insight, not the true awakening. The insight, when it comes, got no words, nothing. It just awakened. The silent mind just awakened. It just developed the understanding. Ah, yes. Yeah. Stephanie.
What if, in the situation was this, when it was silent, right? And suddenly, an image appears in your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
What? Yeah, so that's what I meant by, I don't know how it got there. When it was silent, and then an image appeared. It was a house.
Yeah.
And I know I told myself, no, I don't want to go into the house.
Yeah, because your thought process very fast. The moment you perceive, through memory, you recall, understand? So the word come out. The word come out.
So
the
concept wasn't, come out. Yeah, it was the thought just, that the image just popped up
the
itself.
The image is not just popped up itself. It's a conditioned mind that created the image. Actually, you got a lot of image throughout the day, but you are not aware.
Yeah, because
every moment of perception is an image. Inverted, but the brain get it upright.
Okay, so when it pops up, so I just told myself, no, I don't want to get there, so I just
No need to talk. If you talk, means you are not aware, you are not meditating. You just silent, relax, aware.
And it will go off.
No, aware.
Aware.
Then you will understand what is going on.
Okay.
Because if you don't maintain awareness, you are interfering with your thought. And a lot of people thought meditation means what? You see, a lot of people don't have the understanding. They thought to meditate means what? There must be a meditator, isn't it? Who meditate, isn't it? Logical or not? It's obviously logical to them, isn't it? There must be a meditator to meditate, isn't it? So who meditate? Who are you? What are you? As a human being. Yeah? Human being. So who are you? Ah, you got two parts, the Buddha said. A physical body and a mental. Understand? The consciousness. And what is this consciousness? The Buddha subdivided into four aggregates. This consciousness is your mind. It can think. It can feel. It can perceive. It can become conscious. You agree or not? Yeah? You think a lot, you should agree. One of the aggregate is you can think. Then you can feel, you know, hot or cold, pleasant or unpleasant. You can feel, you know, there is this ability to feel, you know, like I feel the cold floor, or the warm bath or whatever. Yeah. Or you can smell your food and all those things. This is the ability of the mind to become conscious or whatever that it is perceiving. So the mind has this four aggregate. It can feel, it can perceive, like this whiteboard, how do I know? This Buddha image, how do I know? I perceive through memory. Memory recall, because I learned this before. That's why without memory, there is no thought. I cannot describe this thing. But because of memory, I can describe. It's a Buddha Rupang. It's a whiteboard. You can perceive my voice. So perception is another quality of mind, the second aggregate. Then you can arrive thought process, thinking. Then the Buddha said that it can also be mental intention. There can also be mental states, like happy state of mind, peaceful state of mind, calmness, awareness. Then restlessness, unhappiness, sorrow, lamentation. So all these are the mental states. And the Buddha said there are 50. Including your feeling and perception, there are 52. So this is what Sankara is all about. Everything that your mind can do, including feeling and perception, is called the activity of mind, Sankara. Then the last quality of the mind is you are able to become conscious. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So these are the quality of mind. So now we ask ourselves, which one you use to meditate? It's obviously the mind, isn't it? The thought process, isn't it? The sankhara, isn't it? So we use that to meditate. For those who understand, you are not meditating at all. The thought is meditating, and the thought cannot meditate. Where you meditate to realize a state of enlightenment which is beyond thought, the Buddha said. We chant just now the salutation to the Dhamma. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo, the Buddha said. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. And what are the characteristics of this Dhamma? This Dhamma is sanditiko, can be realized in the here and the now, the enlightenment. No need to wait till death. So this is the first characteristics of the Dhamma. Then this Dhamma is akaliko. Akaliko means what? Timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. So how can you use thought to meditate, to realize a state that is beyond thought? It's impossible. Because the instrument you use cannot allow you to have that. It limits you. But there is thought. So Krishnamurti, he knew that. That's why he said, wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. The real meditation is without anybody meditating. The silent mind that is in awareness without the thought, that is your true mind. That is the one that can awaken, that can meditate. So the silent mind in tranquility, in stillness, a free mind is the meditative mind. You understand? That's why just now you say when you are peaceful, there can be two possibilities. One is those who do samatha or concentration, one-pointedness. They can become very calm because they fix the mind at one point. Yeah. But for your case, I don't think it's that one. So what they do is they fix the point into one-pointedness. Then they develop that ekagata or one-pointedness and develop energy field until the mind is very calm. Then they go into the first jhana. Then they go into the second jhana. Then the third jhana. Then the fourth jhana in equanimity. And during those moments, this still image will come out. They will come out like picture, like that, one by one, just pass. Then like what happened to you, you go and labor it. Then you go and communicate with it or talk with it. You give meaning to it. And a lot of people tell me why not. They say they can see their past life. Yeah, they can see a lady in very ancient, like China time, that type of dress. Then some they say they can see monk in robe. Then some later on they say they saw Kuan Yin, they saw Buddha. So these are sankhara, mental formation. The Buddha called it the mind form the image. We call it mental formation. Or there's another word. Mental states are the mind state. Then mental formation. There's one more word. Mental. Construction. Construction and formation is the same.
There's another one. The image one. Mental one. What you say is mental construct, but this one is mental images. There's another word for it. Mental one. like C.D. Marsh, slideshow. So it can create this type of mental activity is seen in very general activity. Activity is like it come and go and all thing. It's like your thinking, your thought process, sangra sanya and all thing. There is another what they call never mind. When I remember I tell you. So all this are called the mind. So this mind, when they arise, they create thought. And what is thought? Thought is actually your pure awareness. Plus the content of consciousness that you put in. You see, initially when you are silent without thought, you're just aware. It's a spacious awareness without a center. But what happens is, when you immediately perceive something, let's say that, what you call that? That painting. Very good painting. What happened? It's focused, isn't it? That's how you perceive. So your awareness shrink. You understand? Shrink. From a spacious awareness, it shrink into a spot. Then you input your content where you perceive. Oh, Chinese painting, calligraphy. So all these are the content of consciousness, which is your sankara, your mental activity, your mental labeling, your whatever mental intention and all those things, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your reaction, everything goes in. And what happens when you do that? You are lost in thought, preoccupied with this painting, this teaching, this picture. Keep on describing it from your accumulated memory and all those things, your views and opinion, your comment and all, wow, beautiful, from China, where can I buy it? So all this starts to arise. Then you are no longer aware. You are preoccupied with that perception, that thought process. That's why this thought becomes limited and egoic. Because it's no longer the spacious awareness without a center. It's no longer aware of the things that are happening within the moment. You are just thinking, 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 without even aware that you are thinking, like just now what you went through. So what happened is you feel calm and peaceful is because to you, it's like you almost lapse into a unconscious mind. You know what is unconscious? Unconscious means you are like going to sleep. You are not conscious. But even when you sleep, you got a lot of mental activity going on. They are your subconscious release and your unconscious movement. Because you lapse into the they call it the unconscious and subconscious level of mental activity. That's why the medical field, when they want to do an operation on you, you know what they do? They put chloroform. They numb you. They call it anesthesia. They numb one part of your brain, which is responsible for consciousness. When that one is numb, I can tell you, after 4 hours or 3 hours or 5 hours of operation come out, you completely don't register anything, blank. Like nothing happened during those hours. Because it makes you go into the unconscious. Yeah. So the unconscious is a very deep state where there is no mental activity at all, no consciousness at all. Just like they call it,
Bhavanga, the one. There's a Pali word in the Abhidhamma, Bhavanga. It's just a stream flow because there is no distortion, no imprint, no movement, no activity, nothing. But it's not cessation, please. It's just a stream of consciousness without any movement from the senses to distort it or disturb it. So this is how thought comes about. When from spacious awareness, from the awareness mind, you suddenly perceive. Then you get yourself lost in thought, entangled there. So meditation is the same. When you are silent, relaxed, and aware, you are fully aware. And you can be aware of everything that arises. But when you are lost in thought, you are not aware. Because man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are silent in awareness to be aware of what is going on, or you are thinking and lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are thinking. And that's how the mental hindrance come about. That's how you lose your ability to be aware. That's how living beings become heedless, lost in thought. And most of the time, living beings are lost in thought, where they think a lot. And the thought precedes their action. They are hardly within the moment. Like you stand aware, I speak aware. The moment you are aware, you can perceive, but you don't get lost inside there. Then whatever movement your awareness follow. That is what mindfulness is all about. But the moment you lapse and there is no more awareness, like Anapanasati, mindful split second is gone. Then where that mind is, you also don't know. Then you realize you are not mindful of the breathing. Awareness is the same. The moment you are lost in thought, you will know. The inner awareness is no more, gone. So what you need to understand is meditation is without the thought. The moment thought arises, you are not meditating. If you want to reflect, contemplate, and understand, wait till you come out of the meditation. Then when you are sitting, especially those who don't have the ability to relax their body and mind, what happens is after a while, you feel pain. It's very common. Sometimes people feel numbness. Then sometimes itchiness. Then sometimes the mind thinks a lot, restlessness. Then they are not used to restricting their posture. Because you are most of the day active and conscious. That's why you can do a lot of things and make you occupied. But when they ask you to meditate, especially when they ask you to cross your leg and silent, you feel either sleepy or you cannot even stop for a while because the thought keep on coming out nonstop. This is due to your heedless living. If throughout the day, you arise this sensual desire, you will with every moment of consciousness. This becomes habitual. And when it becomes habitual, thought is respond to memory and you accumulate so much thing. You give so much importance to all these things. You get yourself entangled with so much thing in life. From the moment you wake up, what do you do? Yeah? What do you do? What is the first thing that comes to mind? Yeah? Sometimes you got dreams, the fear, the phobia straight away arise. Then sometimes you don't have all those things, the bladder, tactile consciousness, oh, go to the toilet. Then how you come out of your bed also you don't know. How you enter your bathroom also you don't know. And how you created all those activity and movement also you don't know. Your only concern is to release yourself. Answer me, just call if you relief sitting there. You are hardly aware, understand? Then, after that, you recall through thought, oh, what must I do today? Oh, I got this appointment, I got that appointment. I have to go to office. I have to see who and who. Then, as you are thinking, you also don't know how you come out of your toilet bowl and how you go about brushing your teeth. Because as you do all this, you are not aware. You are just thinking, thinking. Then how you finish all your brushing teeth also you don't know. You are so caught in the whole thinking process. And you are so like anxious of moving on, keep on moving on. Then sometimes when you are short of time, you quickly dress. Then you just rush. And you come down. Where the car key also you don't know. You will shout at your spouse, "Hey, where did I put my car key? Can you get me my this, get me my that?" Then breakfast also, "Never mind, no time to eat, I go office." Okay. So you realize, if you are not in the Dhamma field, if you have not cultivated this mind, you can hardly be aware. And most of the time you are heedless. And if most of the time you are heedless, the mental hindrance are very powerful. Well, it will become habitual. That's why you cannot meditate. And you have to start all over again through training the mind to have the spiritual faculty. Once the spiritual faculty arises, you become beautiful. Your meditation will take off. But the problem with the so-called Buddhist community or meditator is they don't understand this teaching. So what they do, they go after method and technique. Because they don't know how to fix the mind. They don't know how to calm the mind. They don't know how to develop mental peacefulness, calmness. So they need an object of meditation. That's why I told you just now, it's very logical, isn't it? To meditate, they will come and ask you a question, "Teach me how to meditate." Then they expect you to give him a method and a technique. And you say this is vipassana, they're very happy. Yeah. They are very gullible. Yeah. Then they just do without understanding, thinking that that is meditation. And all this doing is by the thought, method and technique. The method and technique, when you understand them, is not a meditation. It's a skillful means to train the mind, to anchor the mind. Well, this mind think a lot, heedless, wander off very far. So they need an object of meditation to anchor this mind. That's why they fix it. Then they focus on it. They concentrate on it. Without concentration, they don't know what to do with the mind because it is very wild. Think a lot. Heedless. So this is the understanding. The real meditation is no need to focus, no need to concentrate. Just relax and silent, aware. It will stabilize by itself. Then through that stability, you will have the ability to see things clearly as they are. To understand the spiritual teaching. Because these are spiritual faculty that will enable you to understand the Buddha's teaching, the spiritual teaching. And this is the one that can awaken you and let you understand his teaching. Then from that understanding, your mind will transform. You will have the ability to insight into the universal characteristic. And that will straighten your view, develop the appropriate understanding, and your mind can free and liberate. That's how meditation is to be done and understood. Then the factors of enlightenment, they will keep on arising, the seven factors of enlightenment. And you will start to understand the teaching in a very different way. Okay? Any more question or reporting? So just now the image on that Stephanie mentioned, I say there are two possibilities. One is when they go into samatha, when they are in jhana, or then this still image will appear. Sometime in the second jhana it can happen already. Then her case one is because when it goes in the subconscious and the unconscious, because it's in a way quite relaxed, then suddenly the image appear. And because this image, I think, appeal to her, then she focus, then she perceive, then the thought come in and comment, it's a house. But these images are fabrication, are mental fabrication. Mental fabrication. Mental fabrication, it fabricate the image for you to see. Sankara. That's why the Buddha said all of Sankara, they are impermanent. They are just a thought. Arise and pass away. Mental state, they arise and pass away. Feeling, they arise and pass away. Perception also arise and pass away. Then consciousness also arise and pass away. Then the Buddha's question is very simple. If they arise and pass away, are they real? They are not real. They are impermanent. And when they pass away, you didn't die. So that's why the aggregates of mind, the feeling, perception, sankhara and vijnanam of consciousness, they are not you. Because if feeling is you, when feeling pass away, pleasant feeling become unpleasant feeling, you should die with it, isn't it? But how come you are not dead? So feeling is not you. Feeling is a condition arising mental states. They arise and they pass away based on your conditioning. Pleasant feeling is because you attach to the good feeling. Unpleasant feeling is you don't like that unpleasant feeling like pain, itchiness and other things. Then when you enter calmness of mind, peacefulness of mind, experience piti, sukha, pasati, oh, you attach to those states because you like them. So this is how sensual desire and ill will develop and arise. So meditation is to understand all this. The Buddha said when you're aware of all this, you will understand his teaching. His essential Dhamma explain all these things, the mental hindrance, the mental aggregates. That's why you study in the four foundation of mindfulness of the five mental hindrance. You are aware of the hindrance, sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, doubt. You see them initially. Then when the spiritual faculty are there, you see them fading away and in future they won't arise. Then the five aggregates of form and mind also, you can see them every moment of consciousness, the content that go in, and every moment of feeling, perception, activity of mind, very clear inside there. Then after that, you will come to understand how you function as a human being, the dependent origination, the dwelling, paticca-samuppada. Then you will understand that the physical body have the sense bases, five physical base sense bases. Then the mind, which is the sixth one. So this sixth sendal leading to the 18th sense drive. So you can develop mindfulness of the internal six sense bases and the external six sense bases. Then how they unite and trigger off the third sixth sense consciousness. So all this, you will start to see them in your meditation, aware of them. Then later on, the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising. Then you know you are on the right path and non-path, all those things. Then later on, you will understand the Four Noble Truths. You will awaken to it. You will understand clearly what suffering is, the cause of its arising, craving, born of self-delusion. Craving is attachment, clinging, grasping from memory, accumulation. If you don't have memory to hold on to this thing, you will not grasp and cling and hold. And because you are ignorant, you give meaning. That's why you accumulate them in your memory. Your fear, your phobia, your excitement and all those things. Then finally, you will come to realize the cessation of form and mind, which is the realization of Nibbana, the enlightenment. Then you realize that all these are not real. The form and mind are not real. They are dependent originating condition arising, exactly like what the Buddha explained. Then the universal characteristic, you will be very clear. Then from there onward, you are no longer deluded. The phenomenal world has got no power over you. May it be physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they all has no more power over you. Because there is no more delusion to cling, to grasp, and to hold. So all this is how the understanding of the teaching can bring forth the condition for you to awaken and to liberate your mind. Okay? Any other question? Oh, almost 10:30, yeah? Very fast. Today, the fluorescent tip also give way. Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that I want you to go back and reflect is about life. How do you really understand life? Who are you? What are you? Then you look back this life since birth until now. You reflect. If this life you can have this type of life under the sasana, what about future life when there is no sasana? What type of life will you have? Then you look around the world. Everyone is so different. They go through life so differently. We are more fortunate because we are the educated group that managed to come to PJKL, to have this understanding and all those things. Then because of your good karma, you got this good life. But what happened? Those who are born in very miserable condition, country and situation, like the very poor country, Africa, Himalayas, India, even last time China, but nowadays China not bad. So you look at all the various type of possibility of birth. If you come without this Dhamma understanding, I tell you, life can be pretty miserable. And you don't take care of karma, you can go all over the place. And the human rhyme is supposed to be the happy rhyme. And not everyone can be so lucky. And born as a human, the Buddha already explained, very rare, rare indeed, is to have human birth. Even rare to encounter the Buddha Dhamma. The Mahayana teaching very good. Zen sen nan te, fo fa nan wen. Then there is a saying, Zen sen, what? No, no. Jing yi te, Zen sen nan te, jing yi te, fo fa nan wen, jing yi wen. Then what are you doing? Both also so difficult to encounter, you already encounter, you somewhat don't want to make use of this window to move. Nobody can help you. Okay, the signal is there, 10:30. My wife is the timekeeper. Thank you. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay. What do you think? If you got question, you write it down. You just leave your question here next time. So no need to worry about no question. Anything you want to ask, you can write it down and pass it over. Okay, next Tuesday. Oh, Thursday not affected. Tuesday only affected. Sunday and Tuesday. Or next Tuesday, the next Thursday, the class is still on. Oh yeah, the following Tuesday. The following Tuesday. Thursday is on. Yeah, I fly off Friday afternoon. Still on. Yeah. Then Sunday and Tuesday the following week will be off. Okay. Let us do the sharing of merits. She recovered already. She's okay already. But she need rest. She need a lot of rest. Discharge already. Discharge already. Because doctor say the palate will stabilize. He has recovered. Then the only problem is she is too weak and the immune system is too low because not enough rest. Earlier on, for many occasions, I already told her to treat this body with proper care and understanding. Yeah, there's a limit to this body. You cannot overuse it. So you have to be careful. If you overuse it, you have to face the consequence of it. Because when your immune system is lowered due to your overuse of this body, it will give you a lot of what they call how you say it. Because when you overuse it, it lowers your immunity and you are very susceptible to problem or disease. And especially this type of dengue thing, which is quite common in Malaysia. But her good karma, like Mi Feng last time, blessing in disguise. I tell you, she is on the flyer. Is he walk already? There also medical service. Because when she was admitted, she was very bad. The night before, vomiting and all those things, Clifford told me she was having severe headache, vomiting throat. Quite similar to Mi Feng. Admit the night before the flight next morning. Your case is also fever, what? Cramp, okay, vomiting. Oh, vomiting is the same, yeah. Your stomach cramp. Her one is headache, severe headache and vomiting, then rashes. Then luckily Clifford was alert. He saw the rashes, he said no. He told Clifford and the daughter to fly, you know, to Bhutan. And she go herself, admit. Clifford said no, no, no. The daughter go. But he stay back because he said, confirm, if not dengue, I go. Then confirm dengue. The pellet count was really low. That's why she was admitted. And 7 days already. And she was most of the time sleeping, very tired. Because not enough rest. All the spiritual trip and all this, she overcommit too many things. And she is the one that has very strong mind. And according to Clifford, because her faith and her mind very strong, she not enough rest. So come back. She can sleep for 3 days and three nights on. You see how tired the body was. That's why after that, the immune system very low, and the doctor knew. That's why he said she need a lot of rest, a lot of rest to recover. So it's a blessing in disguise, because a lot of people send metta and all this thing. Okay, anyway, we can also delegate our merits and share them with Joyce and all beings. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed following our 2 hour plus of sharing, and may these merits be shared by all, starting with the devas, and maybe also delegate these merits towards Joyce so that she can have a speedy recovery from her dengue condition, which is really stabilized, and at the same time recover from her low immune system condition. Then may her rest over the next 1 or 2 weeks really charge her up and bring forth the good health again so that she can continue to contribute and develop the cultivation. Let us now share merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkantu loka sasana itta wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yāvā nivāna pātiyā sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, you can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones.
Thank you for sharing the good. Buddha Dhamma Buddha Sumai and Sing Sadhu Chupan.
Sadhu, Sadhu,
Sadhu. Sadhu to Sita Polia for fetching Vajra and Nagusya to come and make this Dhamma sharing session possible.
Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
Their house for this
Dhammacharya. Sadhu, Sadhu,
Sadhu. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. I have three books here from one for Buddha Dhamma.
No, เสียงหน่อยเสียงหน่อยเอา
พ่อไปดิ